And joining us from the Minneapolis Ice Show, Mr. Nate Zielinski, do you ever stay home anymore? You're doing more travel than I used to do, and that's hard to believe.
Holy cow, I'm all over the place. I got multiple trips in the next couple of weeks as well. So, like we always talk about, Terry, there's a lot going on in the outdoor industry, and I am not letting any of my time go to waste. I'm definitely taking advantage of all opportunities in the fishing and hunting world, that's for sure.
Well, I'm leaving tonight. Karen and I are going to Florida so I can practice my ice fishing jigging techniques.
So I'm concerned that all of my locations are not the climate and weather that you are experiencing. And I need to learn from you as I, you know, mature and age to start swapping into that kind of mentality.
I think you just called me old.
But I was very cautious with those words.
So, my friend, we've been covering things going on. I know you've been out of state, and I know we got a lot of gear we want to talk about. But before we get into it, as your crew reported back of any fishable ice, we're kind of hearing spotty stuff. We're going to get some cold weather next week. We're hoping it'll kick off.
Yeah, very excited about the cold weather coming. I mean, I was out Thursday morning. I drilled holes on Antero. I drilled holes on Terryall. I kind of bounced around South Park, did some videos, caught some fish. But we are still in that time to where, yes, there is ice. But even by the time that we check it, you know, a day ago, 2 days ago, it's hard to say what that condition is as of right now today. I will say that the South Park area, we spend most of our time, even though the sun is high and it's warm during the day, the nights are cold. So we're looking good. We're not quite there yet, but we're looking good. So over the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to see everything really solidify and really lock up hard. And I think we're going to be in great conditions. But there is ice up there right now. Again, take it day by day. Use caution because, you know, you have one bright sunny day and some high winds and you can have, you know, fishable ice turn into non-fishable ice pretty quick. If I did have to go up to that South Park area, we're definitely seeing better conditions. I'm not saying great conditions, but better conditions at Terryall than we are in Antero for sure.
All right. And hopefully we'll get that solidified up here. And my biggest concern, I've been saying this throughout the show, is there's a huge pent-up demand. There's an itch to get on the ice. And ice fishing can be extremely safe, but there's no such thing as safe ice. So really be careful. Use your spud bar. Check as you go. Don't take risks and don't go alone. Now, my friend, you're at the Minneapolis Ice Show. What's new and exciting?
You know, this is literally the motherland of ice fishing, and it is the home of everything that is ice fishing. We have to say that. We're talking to you know, basically a lot of the different brands here, talking to the show promoters, and, you know, looking back, literally, if it is an ice fishing product, more than likely it started here. You know, just like we talk about an ice addiction, or at ICAST in the summer, literally this is where everything starts. You see it to where it's a small 10x10 booth, and in a couple of years from now, you know, it will be a major brand, and then everybody is here. All of your augers, all your electronics, all of your major manufacturers in the ice world are at this show. So it's neat because you get to see it all. As we kind of walk around the show, there's a lot of cool stuff happening. I would say one of the biggest things that we're seeing a big influence on this year is a lot of accessories. So with that, you know, Clam put a huge investment into accessories for shelters. So you are seeing advancements in lights, whether it's light bars that are built into the shelter, LED lights that are accessories. There is a huge thing called the lock system, and it's basically accessories that you can now hook on or clamp on attached to your shelters, whether it's a hub style shelter or a trap style shelter. This is rod holders and bags and everything else. So they're taking the general consensus and making things better, making it easier. So whether it's you by yourself or with a family, a lot of accessories. We're seeing a lot of floors here. So, you know, Floors by Clam, there's a couple other brands that are making floors for inside your shelter. So we're seeing a lot of that, a lot of lighting, a lot of things to glow your jigs. So I would say the theme of the show from what I've seen so far walking around is all about accessories. Again, just to try to make things more comfortable, make things better. I will say that a lot of the things, I'm usually not that accessory person. I am rough on my equipment. I'm a run and gun kind of guy. But like the new lock system and the rod holder they have by Clam, if you're sitting in your shelter, you now have a rod hole that you can move around and kind of adjust to where you could literally put it right where your hand falls. So if you're using a slip bob or a dead stick, instead of like setting your rod on the ground, having to reach for it or having it propped up on a seat, there's some cool stuff that is more built to increase your speed when grabbing the rod to you know, set the hook on a take of the bait. So a lot of cool accessories. And I'd say that's that's probably the biggest thing. You're also seeing a lot of advancements like in the auger world. Obviously, I think a lot of people have seen the new stuff by Jiffy. I'm kind of the face behind the launch of some of those products, but Jiffy now is kind of basically launching all those products here at the St. Paul show. So they have got a new electric auger called the Rogue, and it's the highest speed auger on the market. So it has a regular speed and a turbo speed in that electric world. So they basically looked at the entire drill market, and you know, you say, hey, a major portion of this is switching over to electric, but the guys who haven't switched to electric is because they still want more power. They're still reviving or relying on a gas-powered motor to create more torque, more speed, because there's definitely a large audience that still wants that sheer power. So they invented what's called the Jiffy Rogue, which is going to be an electric auger, but extremely long runtime, still extremely durable, but now has some of the fastest and highest RPM speed of rotating that shaft. And it's unbelievable that now you have an electric auger that will keep up in the speed and the torque of all the power heads out there of all fuel sources, so whether it's gas or propane. So they're really seeing a lot of that, which is pretty cool. We're also seeing Jiffy products that have the new Scout. So it's basically a like 2.5-inch drill bit, and you drill through the ice and you hook it on the edge of the ice and it tells you how thick it is. Obviously, you and I still use our spud bars and our ice chisels more than anything, but they do have a new product that is actually a measuring device. It takes 2 seconds. It goes on a cordless drill, just attach it. It's like a $40 MSRP. Drill it and you can check that ice within regards of the safety. So as we get a lot of our climates kind of moving around and we get later ice form, safety is always priority. So it's kind of cool to see those devices like that. Seeing a lot of the float suits, throwable devices. So in regards kind of the safety world, there's a lot of those products out here. And then kind of the last thing I'd say that we're really seeing a lot of, the tackle is just unbelievable. The paint jobs, the glow paint, the UV paint. I mean, there's, you know, dozens and dozens of, you know, jig and tackle manufacturers here. And the stuff that they're doing is unbelievable. Photo finishes and just a lot neater things with paint and UVs. I was hanging out at the JR's tackle booth. A lot of people have heard me talk about them. But they're having baits literally where they are doing, you know, underglow. So they're putting glow paint underneath of like photo finishes and, you know, glow paint underneath to where then they'll have, you know, UV and other paints on top. So instead of just a typical glow or the typical non-glow, they're really incorporating all of this stuff kind of together to make some really cool imagery to where you get a flawless image during the daylight, and then at night, instead of just that blown out glow, you're getting the glow effect on top of an actual paint job or coming through an actual paint job. So a lot of cool things like that here.
All right, a couple things I want to ask you about, because you and I don't always agree on everything, which is hard to believe, being as intelligent as we both are. But first of all, the float suits, and when they first came out with float suits, they were a little bulky. I'm understanding that you don't even feel like you're wearing a bulky suit anymore, that they're really comfortable.
100%, especially, I mean, you know, there's probably 5 different float suits here, some brand new stuff that are kind of just launching their product. But, you know, Clam has been in that game for quite a long time. The new Clam suit that just came out this year, they innovate it almost every year. And I have to say that this year is probably the best that I've ever seen. If you actually go to the Clam, like, Instagram page, they have a giant tank set up in the booth, and they have somebody in a suit floating throughout the entire day. So they keep rotating out about every hour, and they have different people in the suit floating around. But the buoyancy is unbelievable. I mean, it would blow the doors off of any life vest that I carry on my boat. It is unbelievable, the flotation that it has. And I agree, not only were they kind of bulky, they were very stiff in the beginning. It is no longer that. I would have to look down at the suit that I'm wearing from Clam to notice which one's a float suit versus which one is not, simply for the fact that they are that comfortable to wear. So revolutionary in that market to have a float suit to provide safety that you don't notice is a float suit. So it's warm, it's comfortable, and obviously the safety is there. And I actually had this conversation with a gentleman earlier, because so many people look at the float suit and they strictly think ice fishing. But as you know as well as I, Terry, we spend probably as many, if not more, miserably cold days on our boat than we do ice. So many times on the ice, we're in a shelter, we're warm. Again, if I took my top 20 coldest days of the year, by far is spring and fall, you know, walleye fishing or pike fishing or lake trout fishing. I mean, March and April when I'm night fishing walleyes, I'm wearing a suit every night because I'm so cold. May, I'm doing pike and lakers in the high country. It's snowing. It's cold. Obviously, you know, October and November in South Park is freezing. So I wear a larger ice fishing style suit on my boat as long or as much as I do on the ice, and the availability to have a float suit on my boat is huge. So I think that the concept of, you know, making the larger purchase for one of these type safety float suits is huge, because it's not just used on the ice. It's ice, open water, and it's cool to be warm, comfortable, and then obviously the safety effect of having a float suit.
No, I couldn't agree more. Now, a couple things. I want to do these quickly, though. The first thing is, everybody I ask about what type of line they like to ice fishing, we've gotten answers across the board. What's your favorite ice fishing line?
You know, so I'm actually here at the show. They're spooling up rods in the booth for clam. You have options to fluorocarbon, superline, or mono, and this conversation has been talked about all weekend. So for me personally, if I am working in a reaction-aggressive bait, so I'm working a spoon aggressively, I'm working a blade bait, a jigging wrap, I am fluorocarbon. Generally speaking, 6 pound for most of my walleye, trout, small lake trout. If I am doing more the concept of my rainbows, really light spoons, even live bait or bobber fishing, I'm using like a 4 to 6 pound mono. On those species, on a lighter jig, I want that mono that's not stiff. I want that line to really kind of float around with that bait so the bait falls naturally. I also use a shorter rod on those fish when I'm trout fishing, pan fishing. I'm using like a 30, 32 inch rod, and that stretch from that mono allows me to land a lot more fish. So it's kind of split for me between a fluorocarbon and a monofilament. They both definitely have their place, and I definitely have rods built and set up kind of for each technique. And I definitely pick my line and rod due to technique more than the fish. Everybody looks at the fish, wants to catch a fish, so they think about the rod to land that fish. I have all my systems built for a particular technique, which helps me get more bites, which then obviously leads to catching more fish.
The last one, and this is one that I really go back and forth with people on, and that's a spring bobber or an extremely light tip on a rod. Now, if I'm holding, I'll give you my perspective first, and you can give me yours. If I'm holding a rod in my hand, I do not want a spring bobber on it or a tip that's so soft that every time I try to move the jig, the tip moves. I want to be able to know when I move the tip of that rod an inch that my jig moved an inch, and I'm not just flexing the spring bobber. And I also want to be able to feel, if you get a, you mentioned it, a rod that's sized right for the presentation with the right line, even a tiny jig, you'll feel it thump when it gets to the bottom of the line. The only place I use a slip bobber is on a dead stick. Where do you stand?
100%. You know, if I'm going to use a dead stick or I'm holding the rod and I want light presentation, I am a slip bobber 100%. So dead sticking or very minimal movement, I am all about a bobber. So I'm using my normal regular rods and I am 100% dedicated to a slip bobber. I don't even own a spring bobber. And I don't really own one of the fashions. I mean, you have snare rods. You have, you know, rods that are basically a spring bobber built into the rod. It's such a light tip, you know, built out of fiberglass. So I am not into any of those. I want my slip bobber. Number one, I want to drop to the same depth every time. Number two, when I start to get a bite or when that minnow starts to quiver and get nervous, I want to be able to pick up the rod and be ready. So when that fish takes it again, I can set the hook. So oftentimes when people are dead sick and using those real light rods, you know, the rod's sitting there and you want to pick it up so you're ready. When they pick it up, they move the jig a little bit and the fish swims away. So for me, any of those really, you know, light or, you know, still presentations, I am 100% a slip bobber guy, opposed to, you know, any sort of spring bobber or very light tip rod.
30 seconds. Is there something that's out of the ordinary jumped out at you at the show?
You know, I would say the biggest thing is probably the convenience. You know, accessories are getting better in shelters. You know, everybody now has drills that attach to a cordless drill. Like Jiffy made one of those as well. They kind of launched all these new products. You have the Jiffy Torch. So I would say convenience in the ice world. They are making it better to where it's lighter weight, to where youth, women, smaller frame people, everybody can get out there and use the equipment now. So they are taking the bulkiness out of ice fishing. And I would say that's probably the number one thing that I've really noticed overall, for sure.
All right, we're going to let you go. Next week, I'm hoping you're going to have a "We've Been on the Ice, People Should Be Out Fishing" report. I hope this cold weather is going to really jumpstart things. And you'll be back, and I'll be returning from my travels. You know, I'm going to Florida for my listeners to check it out. You know that, Nate. I'm taking no personal pleasure in this.
None whatsoever.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.